Welcome, everyone. This is G from the Elemental Awakening podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Kash Khan. He's the founder of Educate Inspire Change. You're going to love this interview because he's going to tell a bit about his journey, how he created this huge platform that's raising consciousness and awareness, and also a bit about his journey into plant medicine, how that changes life. That's actually how we met through Rhythmia. So he's going to tell about his story, how we got to where he is today, and a few tips and tools for you guys. So welcome to the show, Kash.
Thank you very much for having me, Gio. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, cool. So the first time I saw Kash was, I was actually watching a live that was being, I got my miracle from Rhythmia, and I saw this guy with, your beard just caught my attention. I was like, okay, who's talking right now? And he had this interesting accent, and he was talking about his experience. Then later I found out he had a website, and so I just reached out to him and just wanted to connect. We became friends. We're trying to do a little bit of work together in the social media space. But I guess instead of me telling your story, tell me a bit about who you are and how you sort of started your Educate Inspire Change platform and the whole story and transformation you've been through over the last few years.
Cool. Thank you, brother. So I guess I launched Educate Inspire Change around 2012, 2013. So that's 8 years ago now. Before that, I was kind of finding my way, you know. I went to school, I left school, I went straight to university, and I left university very young. So for like 10 or 12 years, I was in and out of jobs. I was kind of self-employed. I was working, but I hadn't really found my path, you know. And it took something quite dramatic to happen in my life to kind of light a fire under my belly, you know. So I met a girl, we had a child, me and the girl fell out and I could no longer see the child. And this sent me into a little bit of depression, you know, where I couldn't see my own son. And it made me question my own life. What was I doing? What path am I on? So I spent the next 3 to 4 years fighting this court battle over access to my son, you know. And this took up a lot of my life and energy, as you can imagine. But once I saw my son, it really made me question, what am I doing with my own life? Who am I? Like, when this boy looks at me, what does he see, you know? So I was no longer looking at myself through my own eyes. I was looking at myself through the eyes of a child, you know? And I could see all the flaws that I wasn't proud of, you know? I drank too much. I smoked too much. I didn't focus enough. I wasn't disciplined enough. I wasn't healthy enough. All these kinds of things, you know? So I guess I went home, I turned on my laptop, and I wanted to be the change that I saw in the world. So I wrote down these three words: educate, inspire, change. And the purpose of these three words were, I hope one day my son reads these words and he sees what his father's really about, you know. So this was a Facebook page, and it just grew slowly over months and months and months until eventually it became a bit of an obsession for me, you know. Like, I found my passion for sharing the truth. I started to learn a lot about all these different things that I never knew about: science, spirituality, meditation, yoga, DMT, even war and politics, you know, all these different topics that I never explored in my entire life. I started to become a bit of an expert in them because I would spend hours and hours every day watching documentaries, reading articles, reading books, just to become, just so that I could share knowledge with others, you know. So this became a bit of my life path. And then fast forward maybe 6-7 years, this journey led me more onto self-exploration, self-discovery, personal development, studying psychedelics. And that's when I learned about ayahuasca and DMT. And that's how we met, you know, through Rhythmia, which is a life advancement center in Costa Rica. And since then, my life has just been on the fast forward button. You know, I've just been moving at a million miles per hour. I know you know what that feels like, you know, when you've done ayahuasca or plant medicine, it just propels you into your purpose. So I feel like for the last year and a half, I've really been focused much more on my purpose and my path. And yes, brought me to where I am today.
Awesome. So, you know, with the online platform, like Educate Inspire Change, like, what were some of like the big challenges you faced growing that? Because I know it's not easy going through that kind of growth, and, you know, with Facebook and some restrictions and fake news and all that stuff. What were some of the big challenges and how did you sort of like pivot and solve
it? I mean, nothing comes easy in life. You need to work hard, you know. And I think with my personality, I'm quite obsessive. Like I have an OCD about me. Whereas if I set a goal, I can't stop and nothing will stop me, you know? So when I became passionate about Educate, Inspire, Change, like nothing got in my way, you know? So I would literally work 14, 15, 16 hours a day, every day for years with very little reward, you know? I wouldn't make, there's no almost no financial reward for the first 2 years. And there's almost no credit or no one recognized me for many years. It was just me working in my mom's house in my bedroom for years, and I was getting nagged from 1 year saying, get a real job, do something with your life. And I was really focused on this path. So the obstacles were people didn't believe in me, people didn't believe in what I was doing. I wasn't making any money. And I had to really find that self-belief and that conviction to keep going forward, you know. And it wasn't until I started to bring checks home that were a few thousand dollars here and there, and people started to raise their eyebrows to think, oh, maybe there's something here, you know. And then mm-hmm. within a few more years, I had 1 million fans. And when you hit that milestone of 1 million fans, people start to take notice of you, you know? So, but it took me maybe 4 or 5 years to get there. So I would say the big obstacle for me was those first 4 or 5 years, just having that self-belief and that conviction to really follow through with your goal, you know? And even when you fail, and even when you feel like you're going nowhere, just keep going, because eventually something good will come of it, you know? And I also think what's very important is your intention. So my intention behind Educate, Inspire, Change wasn't to make money. It was to really make a change, and it was really to become a better person. So I think when you do anything with that real authentic intention, people recognize that. They can just see it in you. You can't lie, you know? And I think that's a big thing for me, because people who would listen to me talk or read my articles or see what I was doing, they could tell that there was an element of authenticity behind this page. It wasn't like a page designed to get clicks or likes or just to be popular, you know? I didn't care about being popular. Often I would share things that would make me unpopular, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's another thing, is to be your true self and be authentic, you know?
I know all about that, you know, because obviously, you know, when you're putting yourself out there, some people are going to agree, some people are going to disagree. It seems like more people are just looking for opportunities to disagree, whereas most people who agree with you will like maybe just like it. And if you disagree, you're going to get comments and hate and all this kind of stuff. A couple of things that you mentioned there that were interesting. And you know, there's this conversation about that I've seen both sides of it, where some people follow their passion, follow their dreams, and a career will come out of it. Eventually they'll make money. And some people say, well, no, that's the wrong way to do it, because, you know, if you fail, then you're going to, you know, have resentment towards your dreams and your passions. So I think that that's a really good example of you just following what your passion was, and eventually, you know, the universe responds and creates abundance in your life, almost rewarding you or balancing out all that work that you put in. Was there anything that you did specifically during the difficult times that helped to motivate you? Because a lot of people would fall off before 4 or 5 years. And do you think that's the amount of time it might take nowadays to really grow a platform and social media?
I mean, the thing with me is I had no background in marketing. I had no background in social media. I had no skills in, you know, in software or anything at all. So I was learning as I went. So I made a lot of mistakes that maybe someone who's better prepared wouldn't make, you know? So I really did wing it in every sense of the word, you know? I just kind of literally opened my laptop and made a page. And from then on, everything was self-taught, you know? And that's kind of my nature. I tend to do things the hard way, and I tend to like to teach myself things rather than maybe take the time to do a course or read a book or study. I'll just dive into the deep end, which maybe isn't the best way, you know? So I would say, with hindsight, I would take much more time over planning and preparation, you know? And I think that's a mistake that I made, but certainly a mistake I'd probably make again and again, you know, because it's just my nature. So like, so to go back to your question, You asked me specifically, is there anything that I've done that you think helped me to keep going? I think it's my stubborn nature, to be honest with you. You know, some people are made of different DNA, you know, and I think I've got a very thick skin. Like, and I, when I believe in something so much, I have to go for it. You know, I can't stop. And I think that's what separates entrepreneurs, because some people, not everyone is made to be an entrepreneur. Yeah, it's almost become like a trend to be self-employed, to be an entrepreneur. And some people take on this task, but they don't realize the responsibilities that and the risks that come with it. Because I mean, if I failed, I'd be 37 with no money, living in my mom's house, you know. So I took a big risk. I could have very easily settled for a day-to-day job. And sometimes people are better suited for that. Sometimes people make a better number two or a better employee, or they can achieve more as, you know, working for someone else than what they would working for themselves, you know. So not that's something I want to get across to people is, not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. Only a very small percentage of society can really be leaders, you know? And it's not a bad thing to not be a leader, because if you look at the people at Facebook or Google or the giant companies that are maybe number two or number three or number four, they're perhaps much better at admin or organizing than what they are at leading. But without them, those companies would fail, you know? So absolutely. Like there's no shame in being a number two or a number three or not being an entrepreneur. But I think a lot of people are jumping on this bandwagon of they want to be a leader, they want to be an entrepreneur, but not everyone's cut out for it. And I think that comes from self-realization. So it's very important to realize your own skills, to realize your own strengths before you make any big life decisions. You know, I know what my nature is. So that's why I took the risks, because I felt like I was going to achieve it.
Yeah. And sometimes there's only one way to really find out, you know, like to dive in and to see and to fail and to learn. I'm sure as an entrepreneur, you've made a lot of mistakes. And you know, I know personally as an entrepreneur, there's been a lot of failed projects, a lot of failed ideas, but you know, if you can keep going, you learn from them. And each time you make a mistake, each time, you know, you have a failure or something that's like, it hurts your pocketbook. You're like, okay, I'm never gonna do that again. You know, now I know better in the future. So I wanted to ask also about that sort of classic entrepreneurial dilemma during a difficult time when, you know, it's like, hey, maybe I should just get a day job. Maybe I should just go and get the easy path. How many times did that cross your mind over, you know, the first 2 or 3 years? Was it something that, how do you sort of navigate that space when you get into those, like, maybe it's easier just to get a job?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously everyone's situation is different, yeah? I was fortunate in a position where I had a family and I had support around me. So there wasn't so much pressure on me. I didn't have children relying on me. I wasn't in that spot where I had to get a day job. So I almost had that luxury, which I'm very grateful to say I had. Some people don't. So for those people that don't, I would say just manage your time better. Like if you have to have a day job, you can still be an entrepreneur. Most people spend on average 3, 4, 5 hours a day doing nothing, watching TV or reading books or listening to music or playing pool, whatever it is. So you have to allocate that time for something much more productive, you know? And I follow a guy called Gary Vaynerchuk. I don't know if you know him quite well.
Yeah, I know Gary V.
He's got a great business mind, you know? So he might not be the most spiritually aligned person in the world, but definitely when it comes to entrepreneurialism and work ethic, I love to listen to what he says, because a lot of people say that same thing. They say, I've got a job, I have kids, how can I be an entrepreneur? And he really tells them bluntly, like, you have to work hard. So if you're working 9 to 5 every day, make that time from like 7 to midnight every night. You can spend 5 hours at home and you can work in those 5 hours, you know. You can go on your computer, you can do work. So that's what I would say to those people.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of people that are thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, like typically the 14, 16 hour workday in the startup, that's common. So getting used to it by having a job and starting, you know, with the extra 5 hours, you know, just getting your feet rolling so you can see some income coming in, is a good sort of, I guess, testing for like your own ability to work those kind of hours and the stress of having like two things going on. So I think that's really great advice. Before we move on to some of the plant medicine stuff, one last question about your journey. Is there anything specific you do different if you can rewind the clock with all that you know now, starting Educate Inspire Change?
See, like I'm a firm believer in no regrets, you know, like there's nowhere I would rather be than where I am right now at this minute. Do you know what I mean? Okay. And I believe that everything along my path, along my journey had to happen the way it had to happen for me to be here just now, you know? Of course, we'd all love to have more abundance. We'd all love to be happier, healthier, fitter, stronger, wealthier. But still, I believe that you don't know. If I change one thing in the past, maybe I'm in a much worse off position than I am now, you know? Mm-hmm. So like there are things with hindsight, like moving forward, that I will do differently from the past. Like I will plan better. I will organize better. I think I would take time to invest in myself better, more, you know? Like I often used to spend money on things, objects, whether it's cars or clothes. I would now maybe spend more money on courses or self-improvement or my own health, my own wellness, you know? So I think that's something I would change moving forward, but certainly I wouldn't go back and change it, you know? Because I think that I had to learn the hard way. That's my nature. But moving forward, I definitely now allocate my money. I invest more of it in my business. I'm investing more of it in projects that I'm doing and people around me. So whereas before I would spend it much more on, materialistic things. That was my way of rewarding myself. But now I think the best way to reward yourself is to invest in yourself. So that's my big takeaway. Cool.
And do you think it's possible, like starting now, to build a big following in social media? And if so, like, would you choose a specific platform if you wanted to start from scratch now? Like, where would you invest your time and
focus? Good question. Good question. I feel like, obviously, my biggest platform is on Facebook, and I feel like Facebook are possibly the worst place to start now. they really are committing suicide, you know, by not taking care of the creators, you know. I think platforms like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, these platforms take much better care of people that create on their platforms, you know, and they understand that that's where the future is. Because look at TikTok, for example, it's growing so fast and all of its users are like from the age of like, I don't know, 12 to like 16, you know. And in 4 years or 3 years, those people are going to be the number one consumers in the world. They're going to become young adults and they're going to have disposable income and they're going to be loyal to TikTok or Instagram or YouTube, you know? And I feel like Facebook is losing, because as soon as I can move off Facebook, I will. I'm already doing as much work as I can so that I can not rely so much on my Facebook following, you know, because I feel like Facebook just don't pay attention to us, which is very sad because they're so huge and they could be so, so influential in a positive way, you know? But I would definitely advise people to look at these smaller platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, and look at what's trending. Don't look at the big ones. Like Facebook is probably a bad place to start now.
Cool. Awesome. Great advice. Yeah. So I guess, you know, one of the amazing things that comes out of starting a business, some of the connections you make. Yeah. And, you know, like, I bet you never thought when you started this, you'd be doing ayahuasca in Costa Rica because of the platform Educate Inspire Change. But I know I think that's how you met, you got introduced to Jerry at Rhythmia. Yeah. Tell me a bit about that journey, you know, like going from, you know, never hearing about it to like,
yeah,
having that experience and how it impacted your life and kind of changes.
Yeah. So like, at the time, I remember when I got an email from Rhythmia Life Advancement Center, which is an ayahuasca retreat in Costa Rica. I remember receiving an email out of the blue from somebody there saying, we love your page. We love your platform. We would love to invite you out to Costa Rica. And I remember having no clue about ayahuasca, no clue about psychedelics. And I had never even experimented in my own time with mushrooms or anything, you know? So like, I was very hesitant and I just replied saying, thank you, but no thank you, you know? But what this did, it planted a seed in my head, you know? And then for whatever reason, I started to, you know, I would always listen to Joe Rogan podcasts, and like, I would watch videos and people like Terence McKenna started to pop up. So I started to hear this word ayahuasca being thrown about and DMT in the spiritual realm. And then it made me really question it. And as I listened to these podcasts and people's journeys, it really piqued my interest. And I thought, wow, this is something I'm really excited and interested about. And then I remembered that email about a year ago from Rhythmia. So I dug through my emails and I emailed back and I literally said, is the offer still open? And luckily it was, you know. So I gave myself 6 months between then and the time that I booked my first journey to really prepare. And it was just a case of, in that 6 months, reading books, watching documentaries, reading articles all about DMT, ayahuasca, how to prepare yourself mentally, physically, your diet and all that kind of stuff. And then I just went. But really, when I got there, I had no idea what I was getting into, you know, because I remember my first night doing ayahuasca, I was just looking at myself like, what the hell am I doing? Like, what is this? You know, like, what have I done? Like, where am I? You know, I didn't know where I was. I forgot my name. I thought I was lost. I thought I'd done something and my life was going to end. So it was really like a big shock to my system, you know, and there's no way to prepare for it. It really isn't, you know, especially for your first time, you know, like you just have no idea what you're getting into. And I'm so glad now with hindsight that I did. It's the most scariest and the most rewarding thing I ever done, you know. And I believe that all the energy I put into Educate Inspire Change, it kind of led me on that path. I didn't realize what I was doing, but I was looking for myself, you know. And by trying to educate and help others, I almost like I received this gift from planet Earth, and the gift was ayahuasca, you know. So it's kind of like I was shining a light of truth, and then somehow Rhythmia saw me, you know, and then they invited me to the retreat. So I'm so grateful now that they did, because it set me in a completely different path that I've been on for the last 2 years now, you know.
Yeah. And so what are some of the changes that happened after that? So you had some more self-awareness, and like, how has your life changed since? Is there one main takeaway, or was it a lot of little things?
So, I mean, so many. It was really profound. So obviously, I remember returning from Costa Rica, visiting my family and my girlfriend for the first time, and trying to explain to them what I'd experienced, and they just didn't get it, you know? They couldn't understand what I had been through. But what I found in my own heart was, I'd been through such a profound and scary experience that I was grateful for everything, you know. I was grateful for my children. I was grateful for my family, my friendships. I was grateful for everything where I wasn't able to react out of anger, you know. So normally when I would have an argument or be snappy, I would be mindful and I would think about how I'm going to react, and I would just be grateful for the argument even, you know. So my life changed very drastically. I became a kinder person, and I became kinder to myself. I would eat better, you know. I would spend more time in nature, and slowly over the months and months, people started to recognize me as a different person. They would treat me differently, you know. And it was like then that my life changed, because I started to I was able to mend broken relationships, you know. So, for example, my brother and me didn't speak for 3 years. We really fell out in a bad way, you know. But like after a couple of months of returning, I was just able to pick up the phone and tell him I forgave him. And that was it. It was simple as that. And I really did. So it was almost like ayahuasca took any resentment. It took any anger out of my heart. I just replaced it with love, you know, because all that resentment and anger is just gone. It just disappeared. And still to this day, it's gone, which is an amazing gift, you know.
Yeah, I've had similar experiences with resentment, you know. And yeah. It's funny how like the ayahuasca can show you some very specific emotions, mm-hmm. like yeah. resentment specifically, and where it is. And like yeah. for me, it was just like took it away. I was like, wow, you know, like
yeah.
people that I thought I would never forgive. It's like mm-hmm. you know, for me, it's like forgiveness is one thing, but you can forgive someone, still have resentment towards them. Like it's like, okay, I'm gonna forgive you, but it's yeah. still in your heart, you feel it. But then when you have the resentment taken away, it's just like fully forgiven. It's just like yeah. whatever, crazy. You know, like goodbye, yeah. you know, like, I don't care. Hello. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I just have no angst yeah. or hard feelings anymore. So yeah, that is a gift that, you know, I guess people who don't experience that don't understand how massive that is, you know, yeah. like that compassion and lifting of resentment from your heart. So
it's such a gift. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. So you went, and then you went to a multiple journey since. You've been back a few times, and yeah. I think that'll lead us into your current project, which you've been working on for the last couple of years. Why don't you tell us about that and how that sort of came sure. about, like the idea yeah. and like all that kind
so,
of stuff.
So after the second time I went back to do ayahuasca, I had slightly different intentions. And most intentions were centered around finding my purpose. Like, why am I here? What's my calling, you know? And it was then that I realized that I had to use my own voice more, you know? I had to speak my own truth. And instead of hiding behind the computer, I had to step in front of the computer to try to make a difference. And I realized that, you know, the mediums of film and voice are a powerful way to inspire others. So my page was called Educate, Inspire, Change. So yeah, I was hiding from the inspiration part. I wasn't being willing to step forward into my own truth, you know. So mm-hmm. I decided to take under some projects. One of them is called Pantera, which is a documentary I've been making. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to comment on that. So just to, for people who are not familiar with your page, yeah. before this, all of the content was, your face wasn't on it. It was Educate, yeah. Inspire, Change, there was articles, but there wasn't really you coming out saying anything. You were just researching stuff, exactly. writing, right? But having guest writers and like, the page yeah. was not about you in any way, shape or form. No one really not knew who you were.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I would maybe write the odd article every couple of months, but like nobody knew me, you know? Mm-hmm. So this was about me stepping forward into my own truth, about having the confidence to really be seen on camera, to represent, educate, inspire change, you know? So this is what it was all about for me. So I thought, I want to, this new sense of confidence that I found, I thought, God, I want to share this with others. How do I do that? And I thought, what better way to do that than to be the change I want to see in the world? So I thought, I want to film my journeys. I want to film what I'm learning as I go. And it just happened organically, you know. It was literally a case of me phoning a friend saying, come with the camera, come to an ayahuasca retreat, and we're going to see what happens. And then over the course of like a year, I kept taking a cameraman with me, and it just evolved and evolved into this kind of almost documentary series that I'm creating now called Pantera, you know. Cool. Pantera is obviously Spanish for panther. So like, as you know, like animals are a big part of spiritual realms, you know. So when people experience ayahuasca or DMT, they often feel connected to different animals. So for me, like in the beginning, I was often connected to this animal of a bird, but then I almost evolved from a bird into a panther. So that this documentary series almost follows me through 3 or 4 different retreats, and it follows the evolution of me recognizing myself as this bird and then evolving into this panther almost, you know. So it's coming into my own power. So it just followed that journey, and we filmed like at 4 different retreats, but we've only edited one of them, so that's about to be released. We just literally released the trailer yesterday. I'm really excited to be able to share that first journey with everyone. I really feel like every documentary is going to get better and better and better, you know, because I was kind of learning as I went. So every documentary, we had more content, more, it was more planned, more organization, and we were able to get more content in there. So the first one was about me and my partner, Marie, her first time at Rhythmia. So it was really beautiful to watch this back, you know, because I was able to watch back and show our children her transformation, you know. So I'm really excited to be able to share this journey with everyone, and I'm hoping to release it in the coming weeks. But so that's what I'm working on, and it's going to be an ongoing project, you know. Like I hope that over the coming years I'll be able to visit different retreats around the world and just document journeys and then share it as a tool to educate others, because what I've realized is by going to different retreats and doing different medicines, is it's very hard to, when you're new to plant medicine, to understand where to go and what to do. You know, you're almost following on the words of others. So like if some people have different illnesses or traumas or things they want to deal with, so it'd be good for them to have a place where they can really watch other people do it and they can understand what might be suited for them. Because maybe iboga might be suited for you, or maybe ayahuasca or San Pedro, or maybe you might want a bigger retreat like Rithmio, or maybe you're more suited to a small retreat with only 10 people. So I think that's what I feel the purpose of my documentaries are, just to educate people as to what different medicines they are, what different retreats there are out there, and the different effects that they have on people, and you know, and how to choose the best one for you, you know.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I can't wait. Really looking forward to it. I saw the trailer yesterday, and I was really excited. How long is each documentary going to be? Is it set time for each one?
I think this one's going to be just under an hour, so it's about 55 minutes. Nice. I think the other ones might be a bit longer, but it's still a good length, you know. So like, we're just winging it, you know. Every documentary is a standalone documentary, but it's part of this series, and they all interconnect in some way, because every, like for example, when I did ayahuasca and Rithmia, I was told to do iboga, you know, so it was really weird. And then that linked to my next retreat, which was an iboga retreat, you know, and then I was told to go deeper with ayahuasca. So it's like they all link to each other, you know. Yes. And the next one we're going to film is when we return to Rithmia, but this time I'm taking my mum as well as my partner, and me and my partner are going to be married there, and this is all going to be on camera, you know.
So that was actually supposed to happen this week, right now.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Isn't it? Literally tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow. Because of, yeah, you know, we're filming this during obviously the lockdown. Yeah. So we were both supposed to be in Rithmia this week for Cash's wedding. Hopefully we get to reconnect when it actually happens. But
I hope so.
I'm really looking forward to that experience. I took my mom in November, and it was amazing. And she had never done any plant medicine, not even smoked marijuana or anything like that. And she had a amazing experience. So
is your mom religious?
I wouldn't say very religious. She grew up in the Catholic Church. I was born into the Catholic, baptized, did all these things. I wouldn't say she's overly religious.
Yeah.
As she saw me grow and evolve, she became a lot more open-minded to some of the things, because like she trusts me, like as her son. So
beautiful.
I don't think someone else could have got her to do it other than me.
My mom says the same, because my mom's, she wasn't religious growing up, but she's became much more religious in the last few years. She literally prays 5 times a day. But because of this, she has a real strong connection to her God, you know? And I really found it quite profound, because the other day when we were talking, and I was talking to her about ayahuasca and how to prepare, and she goes, "Look, son, I already have a connection to God. I don't need to prepare. I'm already ready." She goes, she said to me, "I'm going there to say thank you to this plant for helping my son." And I was like, wow, it's so profound, you know? Like, it's just, I was like, you can't learn this stuff. She was like, "I already have a connection to God," but she really does. Like, I feel her spiritual connection. And I also believe her prayers throughout my life saved me, you know? Because there's times in my 20s and 30s where I was addicted to drugs, and I was depressed, or I was gambling, all these things. And I really believe that the prayer of your mother counts, you know, because there's no prayer purer than that prayer of a mother, you know. And I believe that this is my way of repaying her, almost, my ability to take her to do ayahuasca, because she has, obviously, like many people her age do, they have a lot of trauma from childhood, you know, centered around abuse or stigma, you know, stigma or dogma and all this kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So I'm really hoping that I get to heal her in ayahuasca. It's my way of saying thank you to her for raising me, you know. So
very, very similar to my own mother. So I'm really looking forward to that experience for you guys. It's going to be beautiful.
Thank you, man. Beautiful.
Okay, so yeah, keep me posted on all that stuff. That's exciting. So I guess moving towards wrap up here. What are you most excited about now? Like, what's coming up next for Educate Inspire Change, for Cash? What's really exciting?
Sure. I'm moving to Costa Rica, so this is a big thing for me. I'm actually stepping into my truth. I preach about living sustainably. I preach about living in nature and being harmonious. But like, I'm living in Glasgow. I drive a car. I drive a diesel car. You know, I'm like spending money on material things. So I'm moving to Costa Rica as soon as I can. So that's a very big, exciting move for me. And I'm going to be working closely with Rithmia, and I'll be hopefully managing my own podcast from there. So I'm just really excited to grow personally, to be more closer to plant medicine, and to be documenting that journey through a podcast, through my filmmaking. I'm hoping to meet many interesting people and filming and interviewing them along the way, and growing and learning as I go. And I think 2 years from now, I'll be a totally different place from where I am now, you know, because right now the environment around me isn't the most cohesive to grow and be spiritual in, you know. So I'm hoping that when I'm in Costa Rica, when I'm living every day healthily and practicing mindfulness and doing yoga, meditating. That's kind of my own personal path for the next 2 years. I just want to be more in alignment with mind, body, and spirit, you know, because I feel like right now I'm working hard, I'm doing plant medicine, but I feel like I'm not in alignment, you know, like mm-hmm. It's very hard to maintain that balance when you're living in a country like this. Under lockdown, it's very hard to have a good diet. It's very hard to live healthy. It's very hard to maintain your practices. So I'm really hoping that that's the next step for me. And I want to just build my podcast. I want to just grow the documentaries. And I'm hoping just to become much more active in the filmmaking and podcast world, you know? And awesome. Yes, kind of where I see myself.
That's exciting. And I guess last question, what was, I guess, the most instrumental practice outside of plant medicine for you as far as like, helping you with your development? Was there like a daily practice that you have or something you're doing right now or something that you used before? Was anything really stand out for you?
So I'm a classic procrastinator. You know, I always delay. I'm quite lazy in some ways. Like if, for me to go to the gym, I need someone to drag me to the gym, you know? So I find for me, spending time in nature was the easiest and best thing for me to do, you know, because maybe to find the energy to meditate or do yoga, I find that hard, especially I live in a house with children. So you know what it's like, you know, there's always noise, there's always commotion, there's always someone arguing or moaning or crying. It's very hard to find that time. But what I found was I could do very easily. I could walk into the garden and just sit in quietness in the garden for 20 minutes or 10 minutes, you know. So I think for me, just being close to a tree, sitting on the grass, barefoot, that for me is the best way for me to feel connected. Often when everyone was sleeping, I would go out in the garden late at night and just look at the stars and breathe, mm-hmm. you know? And I found that for me was a great way to reconnect to myself, to Mother Ayahuasca, to whatever energy spirits are out there, you know? Because often when I would do ayahuasca, I find myself staring at the stars, you know? So now when I'm not doing ayahuasca, I'll still stare at the same stars and I kind of feel that connection's there, you know? So yes. I think it's just taking that time to be alone, taking that time to breathe, taking that time just to reconnect to yourself. And that's vital, I think, to maintain that kind of vibration, you know? So that's my best advice I would give.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, there's something so raw and natural about just getting out in nature that has a calming effect. It's just like, it's like hitting that reset button. And it's available to almost everyone. Even if you live in a city, you know, there's definitely places not too far that you can get to that'll give you that experience. Exactly. The deeper nature, I think the better, but any nature is better than concrete jungle, you know? So awesome.
Yeah. What about you, brother? What have you been doing lately?
Oh man, I've been, I've taken this time to really double down. I've doing a lot of online courses. We have the personal development school that's been doing amazing. Yeah. I've been working on some breathwork courses here in our community because we have a physical location that's been shut down.
Okay.
But what I did is I took the time to say, okay, what do I really want to focus on? You know, because sometimes things get all over the place. You're doing so many things and you lose track of what's really important. And I found that for my local community here or for my local business, it's building that community. So we're not just going to advertise to get people to come and try like floating and try a breathwork class. It's like, I want to get people who are committed to personal development that want to join a community that's going to support them. It's going to be part of the team because we started it in the last year and it's been amazing. Like just being part of a community is so transformative. And I think that's what most people, one of the most transformative things about plant medicine is when you do a ceremony, there's like this community that forms, there's this family that forms, and having that kind of support system around you is just as important as some of the experiences you have. So doubling down on that, doubling down on creating some breathwork courses, which is also what I find is a transformational thing for many people, is just learning how to breathe properly, learning how to go deeper with the breath. And trying to just be open. Like, you know, like, again, like all of these parables have been popping up or stories of not trying to judge anything as good or bad, just allowing it to unfold. Because we don't know, is coronavirus a good or bad thing? It looks like half the world has woken up in the last, you know, three or four months. People are asking questions, you know, whether one of my business has to close and maybe another one opens. I don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just trying to say like, hey, I'm not going to react. I'm going to be present. I'm going to work on myself and keep on improving. And let's see what the future holds. So like you, I'd love to be in Costa Rica at least 6 months of the year. So I'm hoping in the near future, we're neighbors of some sort.
I hope so, bro. Yeah.
That's the plan right now. But yeah, things are good on my end, man. Thank you for asking. I really appreciate that.
Of course, Mike. I'm happy to hear that. It leads me on to one other point I want to make about communities, you know. And I interviewed a guy called Stephen Brooks recently who owns Punta Mona in Costa Rica. And I don't know if you've seen on Netflix, but there's a Zac Efron's done he travels around the world and he visited Costa Rica. And he went to this
guy. Yeah.
So this is really cool, you know, but it made me realize the importance of small communities, you know, like living in alignment with each other and having your sourcing your own food locally, growing your own food, living sustainably. And that's one of my long-term goals as well, is when I move to Costa Rica, I want to think about that as well. I'd love to have my own land, just to farm off my own land. And I'd love to live around my own family and friends and to have our own, you know, community, and maybe have a plant medicine center in the middle, who knows, you know, and our own schools, our own education, our own farming. So that's really one of my big goals for the future, is to kind of live sustainably and in community, because I think that's the way humans were designed to live originally, you know.
Absolutely. And why not? You know, it's possible, and you just have to set the intention and work towards it. And I think it's very possible. And I'll definitely come to visit, if not live there. So tell me how people can get on. Find your website, the Pantera documentary. Where can people get a hold of you and connect with you?
Sure, man. So obviously I'm on all social media channels, Educate, Inspire, Change, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. I also have a podcast, which is Educate, Inspire, Change with Cash Can. That's now available on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. And also my documentary can be found at pantera.film. So right now it's just a trailer, but you can register your email there and receive updates for when the full documentary is released. So pantera.film. And yeah, that's about it, really. If anyone wants to contact me, I'm open. You know, people can email me, message page. I'm always open and always happy to reply.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Thank you, Cash, for thank spending you, yeah. some time with me today. Guys, for listening, thank you. Appreciate all the comments, subscribes, likes. Give Cash a follow if you're not already. Check out his work. He's doing some great stuff. And keep on doing your own self-work during these times. That's the best thing you can do to change the world, is start by working on yourself. You know, I honor you by working on me, and the best way you can honor me is by working on yourself. So I think Ram Dass said something along those lines. So keep that in mind. You know, I know it's easy to point the finger now in these times, try to blame people, but always come back to yourself, show compassion, love, keep educating, inspiring, and changing the world. So thank you so much for watching, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Thank you, Cash.
Thank you, bro.